John's Gospel in the chapter 12. Just want to read a few of these verses. Familiar verses to us all. Tells us of a family. A family in a little place called Bethany. And I want us to really take one of the members of this family and to use their life as we endeavour to just chart how the Lord has blessed us and how the Lord has provided for us. John's Gospel, chapter 12, and the verse 1, let us hear the word of the Lord. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare that which was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Amen. And we know that the Lord will bless the public reading of his infallible word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. As I said a few moments ago, I'm always very conscious that when I stand before any congregation, of the words of John the Baptist when he said, he must increase and I must decrease. Those words were really impressed upon my heart just a few weeks ago when in our own congregation we had the ordination of 2 new elders to the Kirk Session. Our moderator, the Reverend Greer, came and on that occasion delivered his soul on that phrase of John the Baptist. It's very difficult for a politician who is about promoting self to always be reminded that first and foremost we are a child of God. And as a child of God, our duty always ought ever to be to fulfill the words of John the Baptist, that he must increase and we must decrease. And our desire tonight, as we come to even tell of the grace of God in our own lives, would be that Christ would be seen and that he would be exalted far above all. In Matthew's Gospel, in the chapter 18 and the verse 20, the Savior said these words, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. How often that has been a blessing to our souls as we have gathered as the people of God, ever conscious of the promise of the presence of the risen Christ. The opening verses of John chapter 12 record for us a visit that the Savior made to the town of Bethany and to the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Indeed, if you want a cameo of what the Savior said in Matthew 18 and the verse 20, I believe you have it here in John 12. Because there were 2 or 3, there was 3 gathered together. There was Martha, there was Mary, there was Lazarus, and in the midst of them, there was the Savior. Every church needs to have these 3 members. Our desire would be that this congregation, our congregation in Ballymoney and all our congregations would have these church members to be in the pews every Sabbath day as we gather for worship. We have, of course, Martha. She was a worker. Notice what the Savior says, or the Word of God says regarding Martha here. We find there in the verse 2, there they made him a supper, And Martha served. Martha served. She was one who was industrious in the service of the Savior. She served. I wonder, do you faithfully serve here in the congregation in Armagh? But then there was another member in this congregation, this little band of people who gathered here in this home. It was Mary. And the emphasis that's placed upon the life of Mary here in these verses is that not that Mary was the worker, but Mary was the worshipper. Because here Mary came and she opened the ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of the Savior and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor and the ointment. She was a worshipper. Now we can say much about what she did, but we must move to the other individual and to him that we want to use as an example as we go through our testimony tonight. Lazarus, her other brother. While Martha was the worker and Mary was the worshipper, I think it's right to say that Lazarus was the witness. Because note what we read in verse 9 of the portion that we read together. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, that was Christ, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. The noise, the news of Lazarus' resurrection had gone throughout all the area, throughout all the district, and he was a witness to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'd be our desire tonight that we would be such a witness and that every child of God, saved by the grace of God, would be such a witness. What was the testimony of Lazarus? Well, his testimony is summed up there in verse 1 of chapter 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead. Whom he raised from the dead. That was the title, that was the testimony that was going to follow Lazarus throughout all the days of his life. And so as we briefly move to use, as it were, Lazarus as the nail upon which we want to hang our testimony, when you think of the witness that Lazarus gave, the witness that he had, there were 3 simple words that I want you to get in your mind. And they'll help us as we work our way through our testimony. Lazarus was a witness, first of all, with regards to the tomb. That was his condition. Go back in John's Gospel and the chapter 11, and that chapter records for us there the fact that Lazarus had died. You know the story well, how that the 2 sisters of Lazarus called for the Savior to come and to be present because Lazarus was very sick. But the Savior delays. The Savior doesn't come exactly at the time when he was requested to come. By the time the Savior comes, Lazarus is now dead. We read in the verse 5 of John chapter 11, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he'd heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days until the same place, still in the same place where he was. Then verse 8, his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews have late sought to stone thee, thou goest hither again. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Then down to verse 11, these things he said, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. And so we know the story, how that Lazarus was dead. They placed him in the tomb. And his sisters say, now he's decaying. You see, the condition in which Lazarus was is a reminder to us all of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said that we are dead in trespasses and in sin. There is almost a contradiction of terms. When you think about your birth, it's a paradox. We were born dead. Now, to the natural man, that is almost incomprehensible. It's a contradiction. How could that possibly be? When someone is brought into this world, that little baby is full of life. It's full of all the expectations that its parents have for it. It's a lovely little bundle of joy. But the Word of God says that while there's physical life, spiritually, we're dead. Not conscious of God. No desire for God. Separated from God. So that was the case on the 4th of September 1964. To save you counting it all up, I turned 50 in September past. On that occasion, I was born into this world to the parents of Nathaniel, or Nat as we call him, my father, and Tully's story. In fact, I was in Armoy, the village where I was born, just on Saturday doing some work, and I was able to just look across the road and to see the very place where I was born. I suppose it's unusual for me, but on that occasion I came early. I normally come late to things, but Mum didn't get to the hospital in Ballycastle because I decided to come a wee bit earlier. It was 50 years ago. I was born into a good home. I was born into a home where I was cared for, where I was loved. I'm the youngest of two boys. My elder brother Raymond and myself are the only two in that family. Mom and Dad, every time, every day, every week, every month, cared for our physical needs. But it wasn't a Christian home that I was born into. While it was a good home, it was a home where there wasn't the evidences of the gospel, there wasn't the influence of the gospel. Very seldom did we come in contact with the things of God. You know, tonight you're in this service. You were born into this world. The Word of God says you were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Doesn't matter how good the home. Doesn't matter how well you were provided for in that home. And we are thankful to God tonight for our parents. Mum was called home to glory just this year will be 16 years ago, year 2000. But you know, tonight, despite all of those things, we were born in sin. There's a problem that we all have. There's a problem that we've all inherited. And it's a problem of sin. And so in the grace of God, we started to do the things that I suppose all young boys and girls do. Unfortunately, I had to go to school. And I have to be honest, I never enjoyed school. And I was not the best pupil in the class. I wasn't an academic by any stretch of the imagination. The thing I liked most about school was the bell going at 3 o'clock to get home. Those were good days, and the Lord was good to us. But something was to happen in our home that was to, in many respects, change all of that. As I said, I was born in 1964. My father always had and was involved with things that were of a political nature. He was a founding member of the Protestant Unionist Party. And part of that really came about as a result of the fact that he just had an interest in the things pertaining to his little province, this little country that we love. And in the providence of God, someone happened to say to my father about a little church that was outside the town of Ballymoney, which was some 18 miles, 20 miles almost from where we lived. And the man in that particular church was a firebrand. He was a very good preacher, and he was an associate of Ian Paisley's. And that was nearly enough for my father to give him good credentials. And of course, I'm referring to the Reverend Alan Cairns, who you'll hear from next Sunday night. I can remember well the night that my father set out. It was a cold winter's night, to find Cabra Free Presbyterian Church. Some years previous to that, my father had known of and had been very supportive of the Reverend John Wiley. Reverend John Wiley in the late 50s was a member of the old rural council in Ballymoney. Of course, Mr. Wiley was a former minister in the church in Cabra. Mr. Cairns succeeded Mr. Wiley when he went to Coleraine. And so, in the providence of God, my father was asked to go to the services in Cabra. And he went one Sunday night, then he went the following Sunday night. And for a number of weeks later, he went to the services. But an event took place, and I'm not going to get into all the details because I think that it would take too much time, but suffice to say that you'll recall that in 1969, there was the commencement of what we sadly became known as the Troubles. There was the Apprentice Boys Parade in Londonderry on that year, which ended up having the first petrol bombs to be thrown, and there was trouble, there was difficulties. My father didn't come home till very late that night, and I can still remember this clearly in my mind, and coming home with blood on his shirt. He never said why. Never until many years later told us the reason why. And of course it was because there had been police officers who had been injured, and my father helped to try and be of whatever help and assistance he could. But as a result of a visit that then was to take place in our home from our local minister, my father decided that it was time for him to move from the church that he was in to go to Cabra Free Presbyterian Church. And so as a family, we moved from Ballymoney, or from Armoy, from the church that we attended there, to become associated with the Free Presbyterian Church in Cabra. And it was there, in the Sunday school, in the children's meetings, that I heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that in the providence of God, we were brought to be under the influence of the gospel. So we have Lazarus as a witness regards to the tomb. That was his condition. But then secondly, I want us to see Lazarus with regards to the truth. And that was his conversion. Because you see, in the providence of God, Lazarus became associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know how. We don't know how this association took place. We don't know how the Savior ended up becoming friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But we know that he did. Because even in these verses that we have read in John 11, Lazarus is referred to as the friend of Christ. In the providence of God, the congregation of Cabra decided to hold a gospel campaign. By this stage, they had moved from the rural situation or the rural location in Cabra into Ballymoney. And in 1974, they decided to hold a gospel campaign in a little place called Bushai. Now, I know all these places don't mean a lot to the people in County Armagh. They're very small. Like Armoy, you probably associate Armoy with Joey Dunlop and all of that. That's the Armoy road races. And rightly so. For me, it's a very precious little part of Ulster. It's home. It's where I have come from. It's any of the things that I am. But there's a little hamlet just outside the village called the Bushside. And there's two orange holes in that location. And one of them just so happened that it was the lodge that my father was a member of at that time. And the church in Ballymoney decided to hold a gospel campaign. The two evangelists on that occasion were Dr. Alan Cairns, who will be with you next Sunday night, and the Reverend John Hanna, who is now the minister in Alcorcone Free Presbyterian Church. And John was an ordained Free Presbyterian minister and was in Castle Derg before he went to Spain. John and Mr. Cairns conducted the campaign. I remember we had an old church bus. Young people, you should be thankful for all the modern transport that you have today. It was nothing but a bread cart and wheels. It had been an old bread cart. My father, along with the late Albert Macaulay, helped to get it all put together and get it fixed up, and it became our church bus. And it came round the village and picked everybody up that was going to the mission. And I was sent out faithfully as a young boy at the age of 9 to that gospel campaign. And there I came under conviction of sin. The last Thursday night of that campaign, 24th of May 1974, I came to place my trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to say something, and I think it's very important that I say this. I am not depending on a date. You know, there are a lot of people today can look back to a date, and there's absolutely no substance in it. But I am depending upon a person. Because that night, Reverend Cairns took the Word of God. He turned us to John's Gospel, and to John 6 and 37, and to these words: "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And listen, and he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now, what am I depending on tonight for my salvation? It's not upon looking back upon a date, the 24th of May 1974. It's depending upon the Word of God, which says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And that night, as a young boy, I came, and I know by the grace of God and the mercy of God and the promises of God, he took me in, and I'm a child of God. That's conversion. You see, Lazarus here had a supernatural encounter with Christ because he was in the tomb. But the Savior came to the door of that tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And by the power of God and because of the mercy of God, Lazarus came out of his state of deadness, out of his state of darkness, out of his state of doom, into the glorious light and liberty of the gospel of Christ. And from that day on, people were going to say about Lazarus, he was a man that was dead, but is now alive. And on that occasion, we venture all upon the Word of God. And dear unsaved man or woman in this service tonight, we don't offer you a denomination. We don't offer you tonight a set of rules. We don't offer you tonight a philosophy. We don't offer you tonight something that you have to do. But oh, tonight, with all the love and the passion in our hearts, we offer to you Christ, the only Savior of man. And so we endeavored then, by the grace of God, to live for the Savior. I want to say this. I wish that I could stand here tonight and say, from that day on until this day, I have faithfully served the Lord. But I'm glad tonight that my life is not going to be put up behind this wall, because we would hang our heads in shame. Because we have failed the Lord many a time. But you know, I'm always greatly blessed by those words of the psalmist over in Psalm 37 in the verse 23, when he said, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." We continued our days in primary school. We didn't sit the 11 plus, although little did I know that many years later I would be defending the 11 plus and advocating the 11 plus and all of that, but I didn't sit the 11 plus. We moved from Armoy Primary. And just let me tell you something that happened at Armoy Primary. I remember going back into school and telling the other classmates that we had got saved. And I can remember one young fella, maybe a good number of months later, asking about salvation. And I can remember clearly one day taking the young fella, I'll not name him, because I think that wouldn't be right. But we took him to the Word of God and we showed him from John's Gospel, the same passage that Mr. Cairns had pointed us to Christ, how that he could be saved. And I believe that that day that young man placed his trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. About a year ago, probably maybe slightly more, I was going into an eating establishment. Now, you know, to look at me, I don't often go into eating establishments. The difficulty is not going into them. The difficulty is how long you sit at the table before you can back out of them. But in a restaurant not too far from where we live in Ballymoney, this man spoke to me and I said, hello, as mostly is the case. You try to be courteous with people, but obviously because of my job now, people would probably recognize me quicker than I would maybe recognize them. And he said, you don't remember me. And I took a moment or two. I said, no, I have to be honest, I don't. And then he gave his name. It was that young man that all those many years previous, we had opened the Scriptures and showed him the way of salvation. He's now a solicitor, married, has his own family, and him and I had a very good conversation, and we reminded him of that day, and he said, yes. He said, I am trusting Christ, I'm going on with the Savior, and in fact, we have made arrangements sometime to meet up again, because he now lives in the city of Londonderry. So we left school, left primary school, went to the secondary school. And I have to say this, it is sad that in many, many, many testimonies, when young people get to this part in their testimony, they say, now this is where we really failed the Lord. We got into bad company or we started to do things we shouldn't have done. But I'm thankful to say, and I don't say it boastfully, but I'm glad to say that the grace of God kept us through our days in secondary school. And I tell you the reason, or one of the reasons I believe why. Ballymoney High School, it was called the Intermediate then. It's now called Ballymoney High School. It sounds better. And I'm actually now on the Board of Governors of the school. And if ever it feels like a criminal returning to the scenes of their crime, being on the Board of Governors of the school that you attended is that very feeling. So obviously, there were things that I did that I'm not overly proud of, but they weren't maybe bad in that sense. But one of the things that was a real blessing was this. I had teachers in that school who loved the Lord. I could name them all here tonight. Some from our own congregation and some from other congregations. And they loved the Lord. And they had a good scripture union. We had a Bible club. And there was a prayer meeting that was held every week. And we endeavored to be faithful in attending those meetings. And can I say to young people, if there's a scripture union, if there's an association, whatever it is, attend it, support it, get involved. And there was a move of God, there is no doubt. Margaret Carey, who still is a member of her own congregation in Ballymoney, she used to write, I'm sure people remember years ago, she used to write an article in The Truth for Youth, and she was a music teacher. Now, let me tell you something that you will be absolutely and totally amazed at. And I see my wife laughing, she knows what I'm going to tell you. I said, I don't have huge academic, I'm not like Johnny Buckley there, a degree and all of those things. But I left school there was things called CSEs as well as GCEs. Now they have GCEs now, but the CSEs then in those days. So I left with three or four of those. But I have one O-level, and it's in music. Now, despite all that your minister tried to tell you about how we can sing, I think that's an over-exaggeration. But I have an O-level in music, and I couldn't read. Christine there has the music. I couldn't read you two notes of music now. And part of that was because of Margaret Carey. She worked with us. She was an encouragement to us. But more than that, She was a child of God who loved us. And there was a prayer meeting held every week in her room. And God started to move amongst. And if you talk to Mr. Cairns next Sunday night, he'll confirm that move of God. And there are people in our congregation today who were saved as a result of those meetings that were held in Ballymoney High School. But there always comes a day when you have to leave school. And I couldn't wait for that day. And I longed for that day. And I didn't know what the Lord had for me. I want to be very quick as we conclude, because we didn't know what was going to be our future, but the Lord was good to us, and we prayed that the Lord's will would be done. There was a man worked in our, there was a man lived, or was a member of our congregation, and he worked to a company. And some of you will know the company that it is, especially from the farming community. It's called Loveland Christmas. They're a bacon and pork producer, and they had a large plant outside Ballymoney. I always say they employed 470 people. I think it would be better to say there was 470 people went to that place to be employed, because I don't think that they all maybe worked the way that they should, probably myself included. But the man in the congregation got me an application form and said, that would be a good place for you to work. And I left school and went in to work in Loveland Christmas. I had no intentions, humanly speaking, of being anywhere else. I believed that that was the door the Lord had opened, that the Lord in His providential grace had given us the opportunity to go to that place to work. We went there, we started to work in that place, and then of course other things happened in our lives. We took on to ourselves a wife. We got married. As you know, Christine is with us tonight. And we felt that that was going to be where we would be the rest of our days. But the wheels of God's providence move in a very strange way. In the grace of God, we were able to progress through that company from being a factory operative to, before we left, one of three production managers which were responsible for the plant. I always had an interest in politics, but I always kept it aside from my day job. Never could feel comfortable doing it in a part-time capacity and still holding on a full-time job. So we never got involved in that way, seeking elected office. But in 1999, it was our Sunday school trip. Now, you probably don't know what a Sunday school trip is, so you might call it down here a Sunday school excursion. I don't know what the name for it is in Armagh, but we used to call it a Sunday school trip. And you know, we were very exotic in Ballymoney because we went to Portrush. And that was daring. For 40 years, the church in Ballymoney went to Portrush, all of 12 miles down the road. You know, we didn't want to go too far. But it was a lovely, lovely day. I think I'm right in saying that it was the Saturday, because we had changed. We used to always go on a Monday, and then we changed and we started to go on a Saturday. And one of my colleagues who now serves with us on the Kirk Session in Ballymoney, Wesley McCauley, lived just beside where the plant was, Loveland Christmas. And he came to the beach, because I remember it had to be a really good day in Portrush, because two things were happening. One, we were on the beach, and two, we were in the sea. So it must have been in the 30s, because if you go to Portrush in any day, it needs to be really good for you to go to the beach and for you to go into the sea. And Wesley came along and he said, Mervyn, you would need to maybe go back to the factory because it's on fire. And I said, well, Jerry, we wish that was the case many a time. He says, but no, he says, seriously, it's on fire. And when I left home, there were 6 tenders that were there. Now, there wasn't mobile phones, or at least I didn't have one in those days. And so I left and I went up to the plant. I worked with very, very hard men. My children always say to me, Dad, why do you know so many people? One of the reasons is because if there's 470 people work in one place, and a lot of them come from your own town and location, you get to know a lot of people. And I can go down the street in Ballymoney any day of the week, and I can guarantee you I will meet somebody that I worked with in the plant. I was in the town on Saturday, and I had conversations with two or three people that we used to work. But when I arrived, I stood beside men who were ungodly men, men whose tongue was vile, but they stood and they cried because they saw their livelihood just disappear in front of their eyes. And that was a change in our circumstances. I'm not going to go into all the detail, but just to suffice to say this, that we stayed with the company for almost another year. It relocated eventually to Cookstown. It's now part of another company that now owns, they were bought over, and the company is now based in Cookstown. But I left the company in 2000, just the late end of 2000. You remember that in the year 2000, the MP for Southampton, Clifford Forsyth, very sadly passed away. I had a phone call from Dr. Paisley to say, I hear you're not working, and there's a job I would like you to do. He asked me if I'd become one of the two campaign managers for the election campaign that was to be run in 2000, and I agreed. And from that day, as they say, the rest is history. Became involved in a full-time capacity with the party. If someone had said that a young boy from Armagh would one day become a minister in the government of Northern Ireland, I would have said, it's possible, but it will never be me. But you know, I honestly do believe that in the providence of God, he places his people where he wants them to be. And I can honestly say this as we conclude, because the other thing about Lazarus, not only was he associated with the tomb, that was his condition, not only was he associated with the truth, that was his conversion, but there was Lazarus with regards to the table, because we read here in John 12, that he was at the table with the Savior. That was his communion. That was his communion. Lazarus loved to be in the presence of Christ. I never in all my working life and in my political life have ever gone looking for any position. I can remember my boss in Lovell on Christmas coming to me when he appointed me a charge hand, and I had to be asked. And I could go through all the various positions that we had in that company, and we had to be asked. And the same has been the case in our political life. But I do believe that God opens doors. And if in the mercy of God and the providence of God, he closes doors, I'd be quite happy. You know why? Because, like Lazarus, I long to daily be at the table with him. Your views of what happens or doesn't happen at Stormont is your views. It's far from a perfect place. But in God's goodness, he has given us the opportunity to be a witness for him. I never thought I would have responsibility for your pension. And don't ask me anything about it on the way out. And don't blame me for putting your pension up to 67. That was done at Westminster. I just have the unfortunate job now of putting it into legislation here. This week, we will introduce the new legislation in regards to welfare. Huge piece of work that will have to be gone through on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. I'm responsible for the housing executive. If you're looking for a house, please don't ask me. But every day, and I can honestly say this, despite all my faults and failings, every day I pray, Lord, give us the wisdom and the grace. No one, other than my wife, no one knows how inadequate I feel for the job that I've been given. But I know this. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And when I stand before the Lord on that great day of accountability, I don't want an accolade for what I have done in my political life. While I want to be faithful and hardworking and do all the things that I think I need to do, because I believe that's the duty of the child of God, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. And we're to serve the Lord in our various capacities, whatever that capacity is. But I want him to say, well done, thy good, faithful servant. I wonder, what will be the accolade that greets you? We've heard the despicable comments of Stephen Fry when he gets to the Golden Gates. There's presumption if ever you heard it. If he dies in the state that he's in, it will not be the Golden Gates, I can assure you, that he will be standing in front of. They'll not be golden. But I know that there will come a day when I will stand before my God. Why? Not because I'm a politician, not because I'm a Protestant, not because I'm a unionist, not because of any of those things, but because of the grace of God that one day reached down and saved me and brought me out of the place of darkness and death into the place of light and liberty. Is that where you are tonight? I conclude by simply saying, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You could be the greatest loyalist. And I can tell you, I meet some who tell me they are. I meet some who tell me all my deficiencies, all my shortcomings, and the things that I haven't done and the things I should do. But you see, when you bring them to the gospel, they don't want to know. But oh, tonight I desire above all, and the Lord knows my heart, that whether you're a Protestant or Roman Catholic, whether you're a loyalist or a Republican, whether you're a unionist or a nationalist, it doesn't matter. I desire to know that you are in Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy goodness to us. We're very conscious that without thee, we can do nothing. But we rejoice tonight that thy word tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. And we pray, Lord, that whatever the future holds for us, we rejoice that we know the one who holds the future. And so, loving Father, we pray that I will bless even these words of testimony. May there be a Lazarus in this gathering tonight. He'll be brought out of the tomb and brought to the table by the grace of God. Amen.